I'm Carmen Norris, and you're listening to the Bad Alibi Podcast. Please note that today's episode does have mentions of sexual assault. I just left Beanie's Brew, and I have the slight feeling that I want to find any mundane thing to do besides go home right now. Ugh, I hear my phone ringing in my purse. But holding my coffee while driving is one distraction too many as it is. I feel good though. Better than I have in years, actually. People don't look at me with the pity or curiosity they used to when I'm trying to run to the store just to stock up on bobby pins and pickle juice. I'm just me now. I'm just Tamara Jenkins, not the survivor of the loosey-goosey man Tamara Jenkins. See, that name is so ridiculous. It makes surviving what he does to people seem like this playful thing. If you haven't heard of him, which if you haven't, like, where have you been? But if you haven't, he was a pervert and a kidnapper. And that is really all you need to know about what it meant to escape him. Oh, sorry. I almost forgot to mention he murdered some of his victims when he was done with them. There are 14 women, you know, ones that came forward at least, that the public now knows about anyway. All said pretty much the same thing. He'd come up to them in broad daylight. Maybe it was in the parking lot of a grocery store or in a populated park. But he'd reveal himself and say, "It's because you're a loosey-goosey." Obviously, it was the words of an ill man, because, like, who says that? But that wasn't enough. That was just how he let you know he targeted you. After, and I'm talking maybe days later, for a few of the women, it was a couple of weeks, he'd grab them in a different location, put them in his car, and if they were lucky, you heard from them again. It was always a stolen vehicle. Sometimes small cars like a Prius, but mostly a pickup truck or a van. That's part of what made them difficult to find, I think. Different types of vehicles each time. Then he'd take them to some remote location or to a warehouse somewhere near the docks. He'd drug them, and they wake up with their clothes torn. Not many want to publicly say all he did to them, but it's no one's business, and we don't need to know all the gritty details to know that those women, his victims, were traumatized. But in the world we live in today, a guy who makes a weirdly awkward comment before assaulting women that he doesn't always kill is seen as a public laughingstock. He looks and talks like someone's pervy old grandpa, so the world acts like it's fine. When people laugh and make jokes about it, it's as if they are purposefully trying to avoid the severity of it. His comment beforehand doesn't mean many of those women aren't dead or in intense therapy with little hope that they can get back to their regular lives, enjoying the things they used to do at the places that remind them of him. People laugh like they forgot about the ripple effects of something like this for his victims, dead and alive. I mean, let's laugh and forget the kids of those women, right? Let's forget the loved ones who's prayed for answers and feared that they'd never know what happened to their friend, daughter, or significant other. They laughed while another person was taken and drugged out of her mind, having God knows what happened to her. Okay. The end of my rant for now. Pulling into my driveway, I realize my coffee is getting cold and I don't even have a taste for it anymore, so I guess it's fine. A waste of money, but whatever. So tired of letting what happened control my every waking thought. As I turn the key in my doorknob, I can't help but remember the day he laid eyes on me. I wish I could just not care anymore. It was early afternoon, and I walked out to check the mail. My neighbors are always having work done, so random cars will be parked in the street. But on that day, it wasn't so random. He pulled up outside of my driveway with his driver's side closest to me and tried to put a bag over my head and get me into his car. I knew it was him. I'd heard about it on the news. So when he exposed himself to me about a week prior, I knew he was going to be coming back for me. But I was prepared. The police couldn't help. No one else believed it was actually him and not just some random perv. So I got angry. And let me see who keeps calling. Hello? Yes, this is she. He's been spotted? Do you think he... Yes, of course. No, I don't want to be a bother to anyone. If I change my mind and think I need the patrol car, I can call you at this number? Okay, thank you. Thanks, sounds good. Okay, bye. Well, a detective looking for Mr. Lucy Goosey, or George Myers, as his driver's license says, called saying he was spotted on the other side of town. I know it's a lie because I'm looking at him tied up in the basement, but I don't have time to toy with him. They want to send an officer by to check on me. I said no, but they'll probably do it anyway. So I need to be sure he's gone before anybody gets here. The drug should be wearing off soon. I'm going to dump him nearby, drugged up again, so they have time to find him. What he did may be a joke to some, but I won't let one more woman be violated and afraid for her life because of him. I'm going to be the one haunting his nightmares now. Hey y'all, we hope you enjoyed this week's episode of the Bad Alibi Podcast. Want more thriller, suspense, and horror? Check out badalibibookbox.com. It's a monthly thriller subscription box that has a recently released novel, short stories you can be paid to write, and 3 to 5 goodies. Check it out at badalibibookbox.com.